full of the art that one's created, looking to the right time to share it. And then the headaches of criticism, senior advisors, unseen people above, twisting, distorting that which we love. And never-ending problems with money, holding you back, preventing progress. I thought you only started because it was fun. Crazed, I'm playing a game. Yes, I'm mine. It's not your turn. We played the flaming game. Yes, I'm mine. It's not your turn. Yes, I'm mine, it's not your turn. We played the blaming game. Yes, I'm mine, it's not your turn.
We played the blaming game. Yes, I'm mine, it's not your turn. We played the blaming game. Yes, I'm mine, it's not your turn. We played the blaming game.
Yes. God, you saw my favorite lyrics right there. Warren Morrison animal to be seen. Based on somebody's failures, I see a society in need. That just... Wow. I love it. Yes. It has been one of these things, you know. Just this discovery, the discovery of the system. You know, just when I thought I got away from them, they pull me back in. They pull me back in. See, and I got so many people trying to pull me into their shows. Listen, people, I can only do so much. I got to pay attention to my broadcast right now. So, the whole court thing, this court thing, I really want people to understand this criminal activity, the silencing of journalists. I mean, I know you had a little update for us. Please go ahead, and I kind of want to jump back into that because I know Mike has some things he wants to say about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I went and did a video, actually like three videos today with the Moors. You can find them on my YouTube channel, which is Fake Mike Real News, Fake Mike Real News, Fake Mike Real News, The Rise of the Moors. And we did a video where we went over the case and all the lies that we showed. Like, we went through the police report. And then we show the video, and we show how what they claim in the police report is not true. First they say, oh, yeah, we're police officers, and they're well aware of it. But then in the video, I ask two police officers. One of them shakes their head no, because they're plain clothes, and says, no, you're not a police officer. And they shake their head no. And then the other person says, I don't have to tell you that. I don't have to answer your question. So how do we know? And like the craziest part about this all, anybody that doesn't know or wasn't tuned in last night, I was arrested for freedom of speech, just talking in the state house. I wasn't yelling or anything. And as I'm doing this, I'm saying, sir, what's going on, sir? So I don't know how disorderly you can be while you're saying the word sir, because I watched the video again today. And then this female was videoing me as I'm getting arrested. Why are you arresting him? What's your name and badge number? You're acting like a terrorist. What's going on here? And they claim that she assaulted officers where there's no video, and there are multiple videos of that day and that specific event from many angles. We play them on the video today. She didn't touch anybody. And then they said that she assaulted somebody. But yet they arrest me for talking. She doesn't get arrested that day. And matter of fact, she leaves and comes back through security and then stands right next to the same police she supposedly assaulted. A week and a half later, men without uniforms come to their door, right? They ask for a warrant. Then they say, I'll go back. I'll go get it from across the street. And according to their own police report, they flashed it for a few seconds and wouldn't let them hold it. So we have unmarked people coming to somebody's house. It was the violent fugitive task force. Me, this female, and Jamal from Rise of the Moors, none of us have a criminal record. We're not violent, and we're not criminal, right? None of us have a criminal record. As a matter of fact, Jamal served in the Marine Corps. So he hasn't done anything. And so a week later, they come in arrest her on all this. And so we keep going back and forth in her trial. There was actually a trial date set. And then they went back in time and went back to pretrial. And then another type of hearing. And today, the 24th, actually now it's the 25th in East Coast Eastern Standard Time, marks a day and exact day since I was arrested for speaking. And I'll reiterate again. I was speaking at the State House. I was talking, and people have been much louder and swore like crazy at the State House. They've never been arrested, nor should they, because that's their First Amendment right. And I asked all of these people to identify themselves. They wouldn't. And I asked all of the people, including the person that arrested me, who said he wasn't a police officer and didn't have to tell me. I said specifically, just so I'm in my parameters, when does the First Amendment stop and disorderly conduct begin? And so now they're just, I don't know what they're going to do. Because we keep going to court and they keep giving us a new date. Because at one hand, they want to screw with us, but at the same time, I don't think they want us educating juries, jury pools, and other people about their rights in the Constitution and freedom and just like what the United States is about, or like bare minimum stuff.
Well, you know, that kind of that brings up a good point. Especially for the jury people who get brought in and they have this bias. They're brought in because they have a bias. They have, you know, there's some killer or whatever. Somebody got raped and murdered, and somebody, one of their sisters or somebody, had gotten raped and murdered. And, you know, they find these special individuals. They tailor, make these juries. You know, these juries should not necessarily be, I mean, of course they should be handpicked, but they should be handpicked by somebody who doesn't have a dog in the fight.
And I'm curious about how lawyers the system that actually picks works. These juries. Exactly. And I'm representing myself, so I'm wondering how they're going to try to do this process, if at all. Because if I honestly sit there and I'm asking people questions, hey, so how do you feel about freedom of speech? How do you feel about the abuse of children under DCYF care? You're going to be a real psychopath to not agree with me on this basic human stuff. And so hopefully I'll get the same chance as them to do that. And if I don't like somebody, I'll be able to dismiss them from the jury too. Because, I mean, keep in mind, there's no victim. There's no crime. These people are just butthurt because I was talking and asking questions, and that's how they usually just deal with people, and nobody ever pushes back. And so I don't even have a choice. Like I laid out yesterday, I don't have a choice but to push back at this point. I can't let these people keep doing it.
And Mike, please remind me. I know I went off. It was one Monday. Maybe like a month ago, but please remind me of the episode. I went off on, you know, again, these people trying to get at my money through the courts here through by proxy of somebody else. And so I need to get that episode over to the judge. Please remind me. And so that is something, Will, you got to bring names to the show. the prosecutor.
Okay, so what I'll do is
the judge.
What I'll do tomorrow. Yeah. Yep. So that's what I'll do. I'll actually read the police report and get the names from the police report. And like I was saying yesterday too, one of the state troopers, he was the same state trooper that kicked me out when I was at the escorted me out when I was at the Michael Bloomberg event, and I called him out for being on Jeffrey Epstein's flight log and Black Book, and he was trying to threaten disorderly then. But no, if you're asked to leave and you leave, that you're good. You know what I'm saying? If I stayed, that would have been trespassing, and then potentially that could be disorderly because I'm on a private area, not in a public area. So I left, and it really upsets me dealing with these tyrants, and that's why, you know what? I'm just gonna force their hand on this. They didn't expect this to happen. So I don't know what they expect to happen now. I don't know if they're just going to keep prolonging this forever, but I'm going to definitely keep you guys abreast on what's happening. And yeah, if anybody wants to come out support, if you're in the Northeast, March 10th is my next court date. I will be at 250 Benefit Street in Providence, Rhode Island, Superior Court, Providence, 250 Benefit Street. We're going to have a protest that day too. And you wouldn't believe some of the people going in and out of there anyway, so... We had some corrupt politicians walking in and out of there too. So, you know what? And it's really sad because Jamal's a veteran. Jamal's somebody that has dedicated his life to teaching people about freedom and upholding the Constitution. He took an oath to protect the Constitution, all enemies, foreign and domestic. And he's teaching people. He's giving people business advice. He's helping people in jail. This guy's doing so much. He's doing drives for the community all the time. And what does he get in return? The FBI harassing him. The police harassing him. And for expressing your First Amendment in the United States today, you have to go through the court system. So we could really use some help, and I'm not even talking about money or anything like that. I'm not asking for any donations, but we could use some emails, we could use some shared videos, we could use some support via protest. And even if you don't have time to support us, so many other people, as we talk about, that are in jail, innocent until proven guilty, with a ransom, aka bond, waiting for a jury trial. There's other people like Jeff Bort, Sirhan, Mumia Abu-Jamal, all these people that are in jail, rotting away for crimes that they didn't commit. You know, we really have to do better for our people. I mean, can you imagine if it was you stuck in that cage for a crime you didn't commit? I've interviewed this one dude. Shout out to Avi. He was the guest we were supposed to have on today. So shout out to Avi from Live and Direct on the Air. We will get him back on. And this gentleman right here is like a true hero. He's like a legit true hero of mine. Like, he's one of the coolest people on the planet, and I'll tell you why. Because he was a part of this group that would go to prisons on visitation days, and to people he didn't even know, go there, hang out with them, put money in their commissary, chat with them, and he met this one cat who was in jail for 27 years. He was a doctor visiting from the Dominican Republic in New York. They charged him with, like, assault, armed robbery, like, all this crazy stuff. He was in jail for 27 years. And this guy, coming from another country, Dominican Republic, when I interviewed him, said, hey, you know, I believe in America. I know they may have got this wrong the first time, but don't worry. I'll get an appeal. This is the land of the free. They made a mistake. I'll have my appeal, and we'll get this all figured out. And then all of his appeals got washed up, and that didn't get figured out. And then he contacted several nonprofits who are supposed to take care of people, and they take money to get people out of prison who are there unlawfully. Didn't happen. Nobody helped him out until Avi met this guy at prison, started talking up. He was using his own spare time to meet random people out of prison and give them money and brighten their day, talk to them about good things, talk about God, positivity, all that stuff. And so he works also as a legal aid. And so he got his papers, started doing his own work on it, did so much work, it was like, well, this is actually true. Passed it off to his boss, a lawyer, got this guy out of jail. Out of jail for 27 years for a crime he didn't commit. And on top of it, everybody in his family left him. Except for his two daughters. His two daughters are the only people. All his friends, all his family, they just assumed, well, if the government says you're a bad person, you have to be a bad person. How many people are sitting away in cages right now for crimes they didn't commit? And I'll say one more thing about Avi. So go to liveanddirectontheair.com, liveanddirectontheair on Instagram. We will have him back. He is just recovering from a health issue. So give him some prayers, too. This guy is truly doing God's work. But let me say one more thing. You didn't just stop with that one guy. This is a regular guy. He's not a lawyer. This guy is a real superhero, a real Captain America. Then he got five more people out of jail, combined for like hundreds of years they were supposed to be behind jail for crimes they totally didn't commit. And you know what? We really need to start standing up for one another, because I don't want you to be in the FEMA camp next to me and Mikey and be like, I told you, idiot. You should have spoke out about this before, and now you're here too. Don't let yourself be the idiot caught in jail before you start supporting these people in jail, especially the ones that gave their lives so that we could be free and for us to hear truth. It's truly shameful that these people have to endure this, and that's part of the reason I can't sleep. So, guys, you need to support the people that are in prison, and so many of those people are there falsely.
Many are there falsely. Once again, that scare of, well, we're going to hit you with the maximum penalty of the law if you fight this. So many people, just because they want to fill the prisons with bodies. How does the land of the free have the largest prison population in the world? That does not make any sense. That does not compute.
And the most laws. And the best conviction rate.
Best conviction rate. Yeah.
I mean, we have more people in jail right now than were a part of America when it started. that's absolutely crazy, dog. It's so sad. And most of those people that are there, even if they are quote unquote guilty of a crime, are there for a victimless crime. Maybe they abused drugs. Oh, God forbid they had some marijuana on them. Well, now everybody's opening up dispensaries. While people are still getting locked up in jail in states where there are dispensaries for having a plant that George Washington grew. He called it toothache hemp. We call it gas. Either way, people are in jail for victimless crimes, green, brown vegetation. It's crazy to sit up here every night and try to convey this to people, man. It's just really, really, really sad. And then when you get in there, we were talking to somebody that's in jail right now. Earlier today on Rise of the Moors, another one of them that they had the FBI go to their house, COINTELPRO. Now he's hemmed up without even charges. And it's just so sad, man, that these people are there rotting away, and they can take these people, steal people off the street, kidnapping, legit kidnapping, and nobody does anything. So I'd like to implore our listenership here to really, bare minimum, share this feed. Worst case scenario, I mean, show up at the prisons, drop some money in a commissary. Maybe you don't do it to the triple homicide guys if you find out that, yeah, hey, I'm guilty and I did that. But, I mean, most people in prison don't deserve to be there, and they weren't afforded due process. So we really got to support people. Meanwhile, you got Jeffrey Epstein. You got his interesting plea deal where people didn't even go up to court and they didn't even know they're involved in this deal, where he gets to leave jail and rape children during the day. And then we have these other people rotting away. So all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men and women to do nothing. So people need to take a nonviolent stand out there and really show support to those that most need it. And that would be the children and the people that are locked away in cages, man. People talk about kids in cages. How many damn people? I'm going to Google right now. How many people are in cages here in the United States? Because we're all upset about people in cages. There's children in cages, too, without the possibility of parole. They literally may have committed a crime when they're 15 years old, and they, as a child, they can't come out of these cages. So it's just an absolute travesty. It gives me trouble sleeping. It makes me upset all day, every day. And that's why I do all this stuff, is because you really don't have a choice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Otherwise, they're going to come and get you.
They have pretty much done away with the whole, you know, you commit a crime at 15, you're out at 21, no matter what. They've done away with that. They're charging 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds as adults now. Yeah, absolutely. Once they get done with juvie, they go straight to prison. I don't see where the justice is in that. I mean, if you didn't kill anybody, I know there's some armed robberies. Yeah, they be like a 21.
Even if you kill somebody, I'm not excusing murder, but even if you kill somebody, some of these people that get caught raping kids, they'll get 4, 6 years, 2 years probation. And your kid, you're 15 years old, your brain hasn't even formed yet. and you're in the heat of the moment, and you make a mistake, and now you can never get out of cage. Meanwhile, there's people that are raping children in the Catholic Church that we know about it, and then there's other people that get 2 years for raping a kid. I mean, that doesn't sound like justice to me. I'm not pro murder. I'm not pro any of that stuff. But I mean, it's just like the hypocrisy that people that get longer jail time for weed in some cases, in many cases, over somebody that's raping a kid. I mean, I don't know, man. I really don't know. I mean, we need to be at those courtrooms every day, but it's more and more difficult too because, well, due to COVID, you can't come in. So if you're in a state that you can go in the courtrooms, go in the courtrooms, go into family court, start poking around, start asking questions, ask about jury nullification. And then if you're not, then they say, oh, you can't come in here. And I've done this a number of times. You can't come in this courtroom. You can't come in this public building due to COVID. Sometimes it works, and a lot of times it doesn't. But even if it doesn't work, you have to attempt to get in that building. And you have to say, well, they're going to say, hey, dude, you can't get in this building. I don't know if you noticed, it's a pandemic. And then you say, oh, really? I didn't. Is there what law are you referring to that says, and there is no law, executive orders are not laws. I've went around the country doing this, and there's video of me doing this around the country in different parts, Florida, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., Rhode Island, so forth. And they've never printed out law because there is no law. The best they can do is print out an executive order, and that's not constitutional, and there'll be exceptions anyways. And so even if they forcibly remove you from the building, at least say, hey, look, call their bluff. Make them bring the law, because there is no law, because we have to expose it one way or another. People really, really, really need to start getting active now, because if they're locking up the people that are telling you the truth and speaking out against missing children and exercising our rights, do you think they're not going to come for you? Or your kid, or your family, or your brother?
You know what? If I ever get summoned to court, COVID stuff's still around, I'm coughing on everybody.
And I was thinking, because ask you when you go into court, every time they say, have you been out of the state? Have you come into contact with anybody? Do you have a cough? Do you have a sneeze? Do you have da da da? And I'm like, what if I say yes? Yeah, just postpone this case indefinitely due to COVID. Yeah, I'm feeling COVID-y. I don't know when I'm going to get over it. So I did look it up. And as of 2016, 2.3 million people were incarcerated in the United States. That's a rate of 698 per 100,000. So 2.3 million people are locked in cages. It's just insane. That's insane. That's more than the population of many, many, many countries. And they're just locked in cages working as modern-day slaves. They're just modern-day slaves, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm coughing on everybody. And they want to ask me questions. I'm like, I'm just going to read the back of a prescription label. I got irritable bowel, leaky anal leakage. I got dry throat. I'm going to read the back of a bottle. They'll have a CDC truck there in no time.
Well, they're going to be careful, because then they're going to shit. They'll probably send you right to Bill Gates' house as a test study. They'll be like, this guy's got some crazy COVID. We got to study this guy. We got to lock him down.
Got your hand off my penis!
For real.
I got itchy scratch.
And you're top grabbing Rhode Island state troopers, man. I just want to be left alone. I just want to be left alone, man. I just don't want people stealing children. I don't want people stealing my rights. I don't want people grabbing my penis. I just want to chill, man. But these guys can't let me chill. I don't want to be doing this. No offense to me, I don't want to be doing the show. I'd rather, honestly, I haven't played video games in years, but I would be playing. I would play video games. But I can't. I can't. I mean, I do have my fun in my own ways, but I just don't have time. I suck. I try to pick up the controller nowadays, and if it's not NBA Live or Madden, man, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I try to play a first-person shooter, man. I guess I'm a boomer, and I can't even look. I'm looking up, down, left, right. I can't even move. I just keep dying. I need more time to dedicate to video games. But no, they want to pimp out children and traffic kills it. So what are you going to do?
Well, I tell you what. We're going to have Mossad Mike come back and talk on the other side of the break.
I'll be real Mike, fake news. Will can be fake Mike.
That's exactly right.
So they don't get confused. They can get it straight.
You're the real one. I'm the fake one. I'm the imposter.
Well, I do know, and people, get your records. Keep your records. Get records of the events that take hold in that courthouse, okay? They tell you, and if they will lie to you. They will say, oh, well, the cameras that you see, that's just for security only. But yet, whenever you see, like, somebody go crazy, you see somebody go nuts in the courtroom, attack a lawyer, try to attack the judge, and get taken down to the ground, you got full audio in those things. Full audio.
And even if they try to reject you the first time, then you put in a FOIA request. Don't give up easy. Don't roll over. These people, it's their job to protect your rights. And instead, for the last God knows how many years, they've been doing the exact opposite. They've been pooping on your rights. And all it takes is for you to call them out once. And if we all stand together, we all call these people out, their little three-card Monty, their little Ponzi scheme, their little tyranny pyramid scheme is gone. We just need other people to do it. Just can't be me, can't be Mikey, can't be me. We need more people. Because if it's a small amount of people, they just throw us in jail and laugh at us, and then everybody else will be like, oh, well, you know, whatever happened to that Will guy? He was pretty cool. We need more activists. It's like the Little Rascals. We need your money! Only we need more activists. We don't need your money. We just need you to join shoulder to shoulder with us. And if you do have a few extra bucks, we're going to break, but donate to this radio station, right? Let's donate to Republic Broadcasting. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Drop a couple nickels on us, because, I mean, that money's not going to go to V or myself, but, I mean, keep us on the air. We're not getting the COINTELPRO Operation Mockingbird money that CNN, CBS, and all these makeup-wearing losers have.
Exactly. All right, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher-certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Yeah. You're back. And, yeah. This is Reptile Hardcore Radio Show. I'm your host, B. We're chilling here. And I just wanted to get a few points across, and those points happen to belong to Mike before we move on to callers. I love when Mike goes off on this, because you got some experience with this, right?
Yeah, court stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll hit all the high notes there. I wanted to definitely sort of reinforce some of that
we'll
stuff.
We'll always hit the high notes.
Yeah. It's the fake mic. The fake mic just really...
Hey, what can I say? I'm high.
It blasts. Yeah, I mean, I know there's courtroom observers out there. I should have looked this up during the break. There's an organization called Courtroom Watch, I believe. Court Watch. I don't know. I'll look it up. I'll get that to y'all. But people got to go. You got to go to court. When all this social justice rioting and garbage came out, I was running around telling everybody, like, where the hell were y'all? When your friend or your family member gets arrested on some bunk stuff, were you in court? Did you show up? Because that is a humongous, it's a big deal. Like, I've been arrested like 14 times or something, right? Never been convicted of one of these damn things. I did take a deal one time because it cleared
damn.
About.
Damn, okay, I got to learn from you.
Yeah, it cleared about 14 five charges.
Times?
It's at
and
least
not 13. One of them stuck. That's a
not
targeted
one.
Individual right there.
Yeah, and so... Man, I mean, I have been through this ringer so many times, and main point is you were asking, you kind of left this one hanging, I wanted to jump right on there, but I didn't want to interrupt you, I wanted to make sure you got everything out. What are they trying to do? Well, you hit it, they're just trying to make you go to court as many times as possible and miss a court date. That's all they care about. They do not want you having a trial. I've had trials eventually, because when you get arrested for things over and over again, eventually the prosecutor's like, no, you know, and then they just assign the case to some newbie, you know. I had some little hot thing was trying to get me on a DWI, and I luckily got the greatest court-appointed attorney I could ever have. The guy actually ended up moving in across the street from my friend's house. It's ridiculous. Like, so I've hung out with him since, you know, my brother kind of hangs out with a little more than I do, because he was my brother's attorney. My attorney totally jacked me and was just being a real butthead. Like, I had this goofy judge who's telling me, oh, well, you need to, you should take these classes, you know, for a DWI or some garbage like that, some stupid class. He's like, you really should take these classes. So I show up for court. My lawyer keeps asking me, he's like, did you take the class? I was like, no. And then they're like, well, hell, you're in trouble now. And I'm like, you're my lawyer, you dip. Like, come on, man. And then, so what does he do? He goes in front of the judge, and they never ordered me to do this. There was no order. There was never – I never signed anything saying I'd do it. I never was ordered to take a class. They just said it would be a good idea, until one day I show up at, like, my fourth or fifth court appearance, and it's Oh, Judge, here's my lawyer up there. Judge, he refuses. I can't help him. He refuses this and that and the other thing and blah da 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 da. And I must you know, I have to withdraw. Blah blah blah. And I'm like, oh my god. So the judge arrests me, sticks me in the frickin' jury box. He's like, you're under arrest. And I'm like, what? What is happening here? And so then here comes my brother's attorney, which I knew who he was. My brother was fighting the charge himself, and he got this great court-appointed attorney. I was like, sounds awesome. And I see the guy walk in, and I'm like, oh, please, please, dear God. And the judge goes, Mr. Betts, I got a new client for you. And I'm like, oh, yes, dude. And so he gave me that guy, and then we fought it and ended up had a hung jury, I think, was what happened with that one. But like I said, they stuck the newbie, the, you know, up-and-comer cute stuff on my case, and she didn't know what she was doing, you know, but got the hung jury, and then I still had to take a deal because they wouldn't dismiss the frickin' charges, you know. They were like, no, we're not, because I've beat so many that, you know, like I said, eventually they're like, we're not offering you any deals, and I'm like, I'm not going to give up, and then they're, you know, eventually they offer you a deal. That's what...
They tried to blackball you, so they put a black guy in the stands?
What do you mean? Black guy.
put a black guy in the stands. That's what we call a hung jury. That's what me and my friends called it.
I got some clips for that. Hang on one second. I got the crickets here. Let's see what else we got.
Oh! I haven't laughed that hard since I was a little girl. Thank you.
Oh, you gotta use the alarm. Yeah, we have equipment that's a little, I don't know what's wrong with it, stupid.
Well, I'm actually kind of mad you didn't do that to any of my jokes yet. That's pretty awesome.
I didn't bring it up.
I love when I'll tell a joke and the guests will just be like, yeah, and it goes over their head, because my jokes are pretty bad and weird anyways, and it's like, yeah, it's true. That's true.
Okay, so a couple more things. Yes, the police lie constantly. Oh my God! Yes, that's
what?
That.
Mike, hold on, Mike. They suggested you go and take these classes. DWI classes aren't cheap.
No, that's why I wasn't taking them. They're hundreds of dollars and you know, weeks. You know, they're 20 hours. You know, it takes a couple of weeks to get through it.
That's a racket if I've ever seen one.
Oh, such a racket.
They do the same thing with Child Protective Services. They'll take your kids away from you without a crime being incurred, and then they'll make you take classes that you have to pay for to be a better parent, while you have to take time out of work to do that. And, hey, why are you missing work? Well, because apparently I'm an unfit parent, but you're really not. The government just stole your kids, and now it's so funny. Oh, your license?
Well,
you drove 20 over the speed limit. Go take driving classes. I mean, what the hell, dude?
But the thing is, though, they want you completely helpless to the system. When a court order you to take classes, yes, you're paying out hundreds of dollars, probably up to $1,000.
They will waive those
and
fees
by
if,
that
you,
time,
if you ask. I have had them waive a fee for me on one of those. So that's,
but what
percentage of a lot of times they won't. A lot of times they won't, though. If they really hate you, they won't do it.
Oh, yeah.
And that if you got a job, like most people do, your employer's going to have to know about it, unless you just tell them you're sick from 9 to 3 in the afternoons
every
day.
Yeah,
you know, your employer's going to think you're a bum. It's going to want to drop you. So if you do lose your job, you're at the complete mercy of the courts.
Oh yeah, then
you're at the complete mercy of the government. They're the epitome of like a cop sitting there smacking a billy club into his hand, saying, "All right, bend over. I'm going to do whatever I want to you, and you're going to take it." And the weaselly ones that squirm and try to fight back and kick and scream like us three,
they're going to be getting harder.
I do have some keywords people may want to remember when you're in court. I forgot this. This is my favorite part about when I was stuck in the jury box in handcuffs. It was funny. The bailiff was like, sorry, man. as he's chucking the cuffs on me. But then my lawyer's, you know, doing his song and dance, and the judge is like, okay, well, we're going to revoke his bond, you know, and all this crap. And I'm like, I can't remember how it came. He said he went He passed the mic to me for something, and I mean, it was a packed courtroom, too. It was the best. I was like, oh, this is it. And I go, all right, you never ordered me to take these classes. I was instructed that it was a recommendation, blah, blah, blah. I said something to that effect. And then I was like, you know, and he just says what he's going to do. And I'm like, okay, well, guess what? I'm filing bar grievances on you and that attorney, Mike Luna, and I'm also going to file a judicial complaint on you. And he wouldn't even look at me. He just looks out at the crowd. I look out at the crowd, and, man, people's mouths were just like, what? And then the judge goes, well, we all got to do what we got to do. I was like, okay, buddy.
How do people go about doing that? Because that's a, you know, I think I've heard someone say that, but how do you do that? Because I want to do that to all these fools, yeah. Man. And we got to sue these fools too, man. See,
go to
Mikey's got to be on this show talking more, man, because he's, dude, anybody that's went, I mean, you have a better track record than even the Moores. The Moores have only been doing, they've had 11 cases dismissed. You've got 14 cases. They really hate, why are you getting arrested so much? And it's even more magnificent that you've gotten them all taken care of, dude. That's incredible. That's crazy.
I
mean,
I know it sounds unbelievable, but I have literally never, ever been charged and convicted of any crime. I've taken some deals. You know, I've got two obstructions of a roadway. Those are the things they give you when they just want you to go away and do all the stuff but not have the conviction. It's unheard of, man. No one gets that. You get one. You get one chance. Now, I can't be a peace officer for 10 years because it's a Class B misdemeanor on my record. So I have two of those on my record. And I recently tried to outrun a cop here in Round Rock, and I did take a speeding ticket on that one.
What? You're going to hear that story.
Yeah, we missed.
You sounding like some of my friends.
I missed a turn. And I was like, here's the catch 22 of the whole situation. I missed my turn. It's really early in the morning. I was with my girlfriend. We were actually coming back over here, and to the network. And I'm down the street, and I missed the turn because we were chatting, and I just totally spaced. And then everybody thinks U-turns are illegal, first of all. So anytime I pull a U-turn, you know, everybody starts freaking out. I grew up in the hood, okay? That's number one, I'm the white kid in the hood. I think that's part of most of my problems. Second of all, so I don't want to do the U-turn. I figure, fine, I'm going to gun it down the street. It's like a half a mile, and I'll turn around at the freaking next stoplight. So I gun it, and then I see the blacked out freaking SUV parked in like the little driveway after the 7-Eleven where I couldn't see him because the 7-Eleven is all bright and he's down about, you know, 50 yards where it's dark and just this darked out little small business park. And I'm like, oh crap. So I just gun it. So I don't even have a speedometer working in my car at this point. So I have no idea how fast I was going. And I just gun it and I see him pull out. I tell my girl, I'm like, oh my God, it's a cop. I'm just going to gun it. So I gun it all the way down the hill, hit the light, turn my lights off, whip a Yui, gun it again, flip the lights on. The cop flies past me. There's like a median, so he has to go to the light too. He turns around. I had him burned, dude. I should have just like taken a ride onto Double Creek Drive here where RBN is. I should have just gunned it to the end of the street, got on the toll road, and just left him in the dust. But I didn't. He's on my ass. I had him beat by like, I mean, he was a quarter mile behind me. And he thinks I was going like 110 or something. And my car is smoking because I have a power steering leak at this point. But it's transmission fluid in my car. It runs the power steering on Subarus. So it stinks to high heaven. I whip it into this parking lot, like right off the intersection that I, you know, where all this started, where I missed the turn. I just whip it in, turn my car off. He pulls in like 20 seconds later, you know, and he comes up and he's got this crap-eating grin on his face, and he's like, oh, man, what's going on, buddy? And roll down your window for me. And I'm like, I can hear you just fine. I had it cracked, you know, and I went through the whole song and dance, and he was like, you know, get out of the car. My girlfriend's freaking out. She's like, just get out of the car. I was like, you don't get out of the car. It's like you wait till they order you out of the car, and you also, like, you know, put a little pressure on him. I'm like, I'm not getting out of the car, you know. But anyway, I called him a rookie. I was like, yeah, you're a rookie agent. He had tattoos up his arms and his stupid little haircut. And I'm like, what a rookie, dude. I was like, nice haircut. He's like, your car's smoking. And I'm like, yeah, it's power steering fluid, genius. Just shut up. He's like, well, you're going like 110 miles an hour. It's like, in my 1991 Subaru station wagon, I was going 100 miles per hour. Are you sure you want to argue that one, bud? And he was just like, well, no, he was going 100 probably. I was maybe pushing, I don't know, 80.
All this because
missed a turn and didn't want to do a U-turn. See what I mean?
Well, but that's what they sit there and do. They're highway pirates. Yeah. The road pirates, and if you're going a little too fast, there's no victim, there's no crime.
Yeah, there was
and
literally
they
no
could
one
be out catching pedos.
You know what? I want to sit here and I want to just like compare Mike to my biker friends who do this for fun. They have their sports bikes, their rocket crotch rockets,
yeah.
And they're right there in North Texas. They do their stuff. Where they have the helicopters chasing them and outrun the helicopters. That's what my friends do for fun.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah. the ones my age, anyways.
I gotta add this.
There is one situation. Actually, there's three situations where I tried outrunning police. But now that I think about it, when I had my Pontiac Grand Prix, this is my sports edition, my lowrider. Oh, man. Yeah, I had registration or something wasn't up to date. And I saw this cop just come off the side of the road, so I gunned it. Yeah. Fuck. Well, excuse me. Hell yeah, I gunned it. You have to blank that one out. hell yeah, I gunned it.
I think it censored you on its own. Skype must have done that.
Oh, I caught it or not. But anyways, I gunned it because it was nothing but a series of turns where I was. So it's not like he can catch me on radar. So I gunned it as quick as I could, and I made my way into my parking lot, where I was living, and managed to park. And I'm look at these suckers like, yeah, you can see me through this fence, but you're a couple turns away. As I try to get out of my vehicle, I can't get out. What the hell's going on here? And I remembered, this was back in the day where us dudes, us Chads, we wore pocket chains.
Oh, boy.
I had my Chinkos. You know, the little band right there? And I'm like, I'm twisting the key in ignition, and then there goes the fuzz. I could not get away from my vehicle for trying to rush out of my car. So that was the last day I wore my chain. That was the last day.
Yeah.
That was probably the dumbest thing I've ever done. I could have avoided a charge. I would have been in my apartment, at least the door, by the time they pulled up. Oh, man. Okay. I'm sorry. You had one more that you went through?
Yeah, aside from finish that stupid story, yeah, they arrested me for reckless driving. They also beat the crap out of my girlfriend and arrested her for resisting arrest. That was super fun. After she tells me to get out, I was like, see what happens.
See what happens when you get out? Yeah. That's why brothers don't be trying to get out.
Oh, my God. So anyway, yeah, I pled that down to a speeding Class C. So I was like, fine, whatever. Class C misdemeanor speeding ticket. But, yeah, one more important thing. This is a thing I've learned here at RBN. And also, you can look into the rule of law. I don't know if they're still around, but Eddie Craig has a lot of good stuff about suing the cops for kidnapping and all kinds of great stuff. So you might want to look into Eddie Craig. I think he's still out there doing his thing. But a big thing that I've learned over the years here at RBN, I think Ralph Winterode pushes this one, is if you have a matter of law by which you know you are in the right, don't do a jury trial. You see what I mean? Like, you want the judge, because the judge will handle matters of law much more easily, because you get a jury, you never know what those idiots are going to do, and there's a lot of idiots. And so if it's something kind of, like, charged, you know what I mean? Like a socially charged, hot button kind of issue where you're going to end up with a jury of, you know, morons, they're likely to convict you. You know, you're never going to get that, like, jury nullification crap. You know what I mean? They're not gonna, that's nice. You know, it'd be nice to have that. And maybe, you know, some things do go that way in certain areas of the country. But you're generally, you know, you're in a big city, you're going to get a jury pool of just literal drooling idiots who think they are.
Hey, you know, Mike, what's another good way to find this guy, Eddie Craig? Because you search Eddie Craig and some weirdo for funk music comes up, some guy that looks like Andy from The Office.
And I want to apologize to
Eddie Craig, Rule of Law Radio.
Rule of Law, okay. Yeah, radio, that, there you go. Thank you.
It's called Logos now, Logos Radio Network. They're still around, I think. It looks like their stuff's...
Yep, well, that's how you got to do it. Rule of Law Radio.
Yep. Kind of old. I'm not seeing anything too current, so I don't... That's a whole other
story. The
first
thing that comes up is LinkedIn, and then they got the website, which looks like it's from 1995, but some of the best websites out there look like they're from 1995, so...
To interject here while you guys figure that out, I want to apologize to the callers. We didn't get to you this episode, but please call again tomorrow night. Phone number 800-313-9443, and we'll definitely include you in on the discussion. We're just having so much fun tonight.
I gotta say one more thing about the police lying is that I met this guy in jail a couple of times back, and he's still there. He's still in Travis County, you know, County Hotel, and he is accused of murdering his father in the most ridiculous Keystone Cop crap I've ever seen. If this is how they accuse people of murder, trust me, there is no actual crime in this country. These people, it's just whatever sticks. The detectives are out of their freaking minds. I mean, the affidavits on this guy read like you watch the murder shows, you know, and you're kind of like, I don't know, man. I mean, I guess they got the guy. I don't know. And you never really can prove it, okay? It's almost a fact. Like, you can never prove anything. If the guy doesn't literally admit to it, and even then you're like, the guy might just be crazy and wants the attention. This stuff, I mean, I don't even know. I don't have words to describe how ridiculous it is. It's just like, well, we see this, and that leads us to believe that, you know, he did it. Or, you know, his answers didn't make sense. You know, we questioned him, and blah, blah. I mean, it's just literally garbage. And these judges just sign off on this crap, I guess. I mean, I guess the judges are brain dead, too. I had one judge tell me, this was like five cases back. This is when I took a deal for like five charges that I'd kind of been stacking up for a while. The judge, I'm quoting the like statutes to the judge, and we're, you know, it's a like after hours meeting, which is like me, my lawyer, the judge, the prosecutor, you know, no one's left in the courtroom. Yeah, I will talking about sitting in the courtroom all day. My God, man, believe me, they know who I am. I'm always the last dude. Like, they don't want me. Like, if anybody's in the courtroom, like when I got arrested, that's the only when they want to try to make an example out of me, which is also dangerous for them, as I think I showed with the whole bar grievance judicial thing. They don't want me around when people are in there. You know what I mean? And so I'm always the last guy in there talking. It's just me, the judge, the prosecutor, having a good old time, right? Well, I told the judge, you know, some statute stuff. She was like, wow, you know, I think you may be better than most attorneys. You're pretty smart. They usually don't know anything about the law. And I'm like, what?
And see, that is why I told you, like, how I get out of my situations. I'm always the last guy out of the courtroom, too.
Yo.
So that fits.
Yeah.
If you're intelligent, you're the last one out.
Same.
Yeah, buddy.
They saved me and Jamal for last in the last 2 weeks. They just give us a piece of paper that said come back again in 2 weeks.
And the people in, speaking of the county hotel, the people in there... So proud of their,
you know what I did though this
deal
time?
They took, of their deal they took. I'm just pleading guilty. I'm gonna be out of here in 10 days. Wow, dude, you're a special kind of genius, you know? And like literally 90% of the people are in there either on trumped up charges that are just pure garbage. If you read the affidavits, you're like, how does this even pass as law? I mean, it's literally fourth grade level stuff.
Hey, I know we're winding down, but let me say one thing. This is a solution right here. Is what I started doing this last time is Jamal and myself, we started talking about the Constitution. And not loud like we're yelling, but just loud enough to talk about it. And reminding these people of their oath and all this other stuff and talking about it in front of other people. things started happening a lot more quickly then. So that's another good way. If they want to try to save you for last, well, start talking about the Constitution, especially if you can bring a friend in.
On the courtroomwatch.org, they may be able to. They're pretty much nationwide. This one guy, it's Eric the Freedom Screamer. He's been working with Tom Lacovara here. He even hosted a show for a while Lacovara was locked up in freaking Oregon about the Bundy stuff. He went and got involved in that and got himself thrown away on a felon in possession of a firearm kind of thing, one of those joke charges. Well, but courtroomwatch.org, they'll help people get people in the courtroom wherever.
Please look into that. And Will, I want as much documentation as humanly possible. You might want to tell these people. I might want to get the phone number of that place from you, because I do miraculous things behind the scenes. When I call people, I talk serious business. And
I'll get you all the information. We'll cover it too. I do have a guest too lined up for tomorrow. Awesome guest. Stay tuned for that, guys. But we can talk about that too, because he's also experienced some situations like that too. And I'll bring the police report up and everything. And anybody who wants to see the videos or anything, go to Fake Mike Real News on my YouTube channel. You can see all that stuff. I did a few videos about that, even one today. So it's all there. Okay. It's all crazy.
Yes, guys, keep this in your attention. I am going to switch over to the Red Pill Nation show. If you guys know how to get there, I'm switching over to there. So,
hey, one more funny before you hang up. I put another minute of music here for the outro. I had a judge ask me one time about the U.S. citizen thing, and I was like, nah. And he goes, where were you born? I was like, Texas. And he goes, well, then you're probably a U.S. citizen. And that was the end of that.
Always probably.
Fun. Always fun. You're probably a U.S. citizen. These boys, man. These boys. All right, thanks, guys.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go, guys. This has been another episode of the Redfield Hardcore Radio Show. Me, host B. And remember, in the land of surveillance, man with third eye is king. So please educate yourselves.
Redfield Hardcore. If it's real, take a red pill.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.